Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, November the 25th, 325th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, I guess still kind of licking his wounds a little bit, Regan Candelaria.
Oh, good morning, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a challenge. I know what it's been now, 3 weeks today from the election. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the impact of that, what some of the reactions were, and some of the upcoming actions will be.
Sure, we can definitely talk about that.
I would imagine. Lots of planning's been going on the last little bit, and we'll kind of shed a little bit of light when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from William Blake. Quote, "Truth is told with bad intent beats all the lies you can invent."
Nice, William Blake.
We got the cadence on that one, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I said William Blake.
So, I know we talked, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, when Measure V was being looked at initially.
Okay.
Didn't even have a name yet.
No, it didn't. Wasn't V at that time.
It just had a concept. And you were kind of surprised at how strong the community felt in support of it. And there was a postulate associated with that okay, the education war has been getting out. We understand infrastructure is aging. We understand there's some different issues that have popped up recently that need some attention. Mm-hmm. And to get the attention, we need some money. Thank you very much. Rock on, dude. Okay, fast forward 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, things change.
Wednesday morning. Would stunned be a fair word to use?
Yeah, that's pretty close to it. I mean, it wasn't even the Wednesday morning. It was the Tuesday night. Of course, we were watching the local polls and the results directly in Fortuna. And pretty much a totally different story from the surveying that was done in April and was pretty consistent across the board in Fortuna. As you know, we were the only city that, you know, didn't pass their local measure. And the votes were pretty consistent in Fortuna. All of the polling locations had the same numbers of, you know, no on Z for the county, no on W for the school bond, and then consistently no on V for the city's sales tax increase. So that's, you know, the voters have spoken in Fortuna. They've told us that, you know, that's not an area that they want to go. And so we'll listen and respond and move forward from there.
Were you as surprised that the school bond didn't pass also, or was that one that you thought would be difficult to pass?
No, I was surprised at all of them. I mean, we had so much support in Fortuna prior to that date. You know, they supported a school bond just 2 years prior for the high school district, supported bonds in the past for the school. So it was just, a little bit stunning. But hey, that's what happens. You know, you put it out to a vote, and that's what we're required to do. And now we move forward from there.
The aftermath of it, I'm sure that you are trying to figure out how come or why, just as much as anybody would in that kind of a scenario.
It's very curious, but I'm really not spending much time on that. Obviously, I have to respond to some people in the community that are curious as to why, and they want to know what. I can't really explain everything to them. I don't think anybody can. But really, we're not spending time on that. And this may be a little bit of why the community felt like they didn't need to support Measure V, is that we have a pretty, you know, responsible city council and a responsible staff, and we have a budget that's running through June 30th, you know, and it's in a deficit mode. It's not a huge deficit. But we're okay right now, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do in July 1. It would have been nice to have had the support from, you know, Measure V, a new resource, to contribute to our general fund and ensure that we're not in a deficit mode and for years to come. But, you know, we're going to continue to cut. That's what we have to do now.
Is there a temptation, Regan? I don't know. Will you fall prey to the temptation to say, okay, here's what it's going to be. You will feel the impact, and to start to do the series of press releases. X number of policemen have been already noticed that they're not going to be rehired at the next. We're not going to be able to do this project or this project. This is in jeopardy. And start, I guess, the not a PR machine, because you can't take your vote back, but an awareness campaign of saying, and here's what we're having to do.
Yeah, I hear where you're going, Brian. I just
mean spirited, but just share the information.
It almost would feel vindictive to go that route. But we are, you know, a quality organization. We provide quality services to our community. We want to continue to do so. You know, those cuts that you're talking about and those loss of programs, that's already happened. We've been doing that for 3 years. So if the community doesn't understand that yet, you know, I would be surprised, because those polls that we did back in the spring really made that clear. We asked those questions and they said, yes, they've seen it, they understand it, and they would support a sales tax increase. And then when it came down to it, that didn't happen. So there's not really going to be anything new. I mean, we've already cut 3 officer positions from our police department. We've cut from our planning department. We've cut from our streets department. We've cut from our public, parks and recreation department. I mean, we're very tight.
So is it a holding pattern of where it is, or are you going to have to go back and revisit each of those areas that you were just alluding to?
There's not much to revisit, but yes, I mean, we have to reduce costs. I mean, because we have no new revenues coming in, and hopefully sales tax will increase. Hopefully property tax will increase, but that's not a big, you know, very optimistic there.
Well, that's one of the things I don't know if folks are aware, that if you get to a certain point, cost containment is kind of the magic phrase I think a lot of us use. Mm-hmm. Okay, but at some point, the wide end of the funnel, the revenue, has to kick in. And then the question is, how do we get the wide end of the funnel to kick in? You mentioned sales tax, you mentioned property tax. Are those things that are in the works already? Or are you going to have to jumpstart these things?
No, those we see, that's the point in government. We don't really have control over those. We can't go and increase costs. You know, we can't sell our shirts for an extra $2 a shirt. You know, that's just not the industry that we're in. We have the sales tax we have the property tax we have, and that's it.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19, and that's it. Okay. Like I said, it's much.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, you mentioned sales tax, and I don't know if everybody else is as bored. There are two things that really I put in the category of government whining.
Mm-hmm.
Proposition 13, okay, it's been 40 years.
It's been a while, yeah.
Get over it. Okay. Number two, ERAF, mm-hmm. which for most of us meant that the state took away the guarantee of property tax and gave the sales tax, a percentage of the sales tax, to the local jurisdiction so that they have to deal with the upswings and downswings of revenue. So is what I see Fortuna's potential in, and a way to cover the nut, so to speak, mm-hmm. is the sales tax side. Now, whether that means chambers of commerce, whether that means bed tax and all the normal things that are out there, mm-hmm. business attraction, business relocation, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you got that big old piece of property that you could put a professional football stadium on.
Mm-hmm.
That's sitting there. And I know it's not yours.
No.
But it's within your jurisdiction. So if that mm-hmm. puppy was producing monies, you're going to be getting any sales tax revenues and property taxes.
I think your word there, production. I mean, that's the key, and that's something that local government doesn't typically have much input or influence over. You know, if we have a new business in town, like we have through Tractor Supply, if we have a new business in town like Dollar General, if we have a new business in town like the auto supply house that we have now, AutoZone, those are great, and those do add and contribute to the production of sales tax in the community.
Significant enough?
No, but those are the things that help.
Let me phrase it differently, so we might be able to get a little bit better handle. You know what your sales tax dollars are cumulative.
Right.
Okay. If that was increased by 50%, does that cover your nut?
Yes, it totally would.
25?
Yes.
10?
I don't know about 10.
Okay, but so somewhere in that sweet spot then.
From there to any of those increased percentages, you look at a city, you know, our geographic boundaries, how much new available retail zoned property are there for somebody to come in and occupy and create retail sales? You know, how much more can the existing businesses expand or increase their sales? You know, it's fairly limited. You know, we're not necessarily a built out city, but there's not a lot of commercial retail property available right now in Fortuna.
You haven't felt the hook at all yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay, here we go. We're gonna start reeling you in. One of the things that I have argued, not successfully, but argued for the last 20 years, is I would contend that anybody in senior staff in any jurisdiction, state, county, city, doesn't make any difference, you ought to know leakage. You ought to know what your people are buying.
Why didn't out. I? You've talked about this many times. I should have known what you were.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to be out of the water before you realize you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Would it make sense at this point? I mean, I would think a 10 to 15% increase in sales tax would be doable.
I think that's a pretty high number, and I hear where you're going with leakage, but you got
to
think about.
Does it make sense to
Humboldt,
do a study?
You know, countywide, we've only got 135, 140,000 people total. So, you know, as you think about leakage, if we've got somebody going and shopping in Riodale or, you know, Ferndale, you know, it's okay for the county. It's not really going to hurt Fortuna that much. If they're coming up here to Eureka, you know, that's a pretty decent trek. I know a lot of people do that for their shopping because there's other.
Have you seen big brown trucks driving around town?
Oh, now you're going to go to the internet sales.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be. If you look back historically, Humboldt County has always been extraordinarily high as far as the rate of using catalogs back when pre-internet. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys probably still get a fair amount of catalogs today. Yeah, we get pounds and pounds and pounds of these stupid things from people we don't have never bought from. Okay, and I understand lists are bought and sold, but the UPS trucks didn't used to drive until 8 o'clock at night in the middle of summer, or 9 o'clock at night. So, is it a convenience thing? Is it a lack of access to the product in the market? Is it a lack of community education? Is it a lack of businesses asking for the business? I mean, you look at those, and again, pretty simplistic, but those four or five variables, see, to move the needle 15, let's say even say 20%, to me, I don't see that it's that big a deal. It's not like you've got a ton of car guys and all of a sudden you've got a, those are huge steps you have to take.
Well, I can see where you're going, but you're talking about a private sector issue. You know, we're government. We're very good at providing water and disinfecting the water and disposing of the water. We're really good at policing. We're really good at fixing streets and making sure that they're striped properly and that the traffic lights work and that the stop sign gets replaced. But when you want to talk about whether you're going to go and get more UPS trucks or get more business that's going to say, hey, this is our market, this is where we can expand, that's a different type of expertise that takes staff time, which we don't have, and money.
You've heard of categorical funding, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. When you give money to the chambers and the different pro-business
and
efforts,
we do have a lot of participation with those groups.
Do you do any categorical funding? This is for business education. We need this specifically. This is for business attraction. We need this. You've got the staff. You've got that infrastructure exists in Fortuna.
You mean me, right?
No, I mean the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, they're there.
They're there. And the FBI. You got River Lodge. It's there.
And FBID, yes.
Yeah. So perhaps that's a thought. I don't know. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. Pardon me, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, I guess maybe I am a one-trick pony with some of this stuff. But if cities and jurisdictions can't attract business, they certainly can repel business if the permitting process is too long. Mm-hmm. If when they come through the city hall door, they get an attitude of, and why are you interrupting me? I know you've got some staff on board now that you didn't have before, trying to make some things happen. Mm-hmm. Have you done any outreach to local businesses asking, why not Fortuna? You know, somebody who's in Arcata, why not Fortuna? Or somebody who's in McKinleyville or Eureka, and try to get the local guys to consider maybe another retail front. Now, I know this is very specific to Fortuna, and I'm not going against my pro-Humboldt County or pro-regional thing, but it would seem to make sense if those are areas that people are having to buy out of market with the either UPS, FedEx, DHL, or those kinds of folks.
Yeah, I hear where you're going. I think that the that red tape and that attitude that you're talking about is somewhat of a stereotype. You know, I think it's a negative government stereotype that we all have to deal with and address. There's a lot of history, you know, associated with people's dealings with, say, City Hall or with, you know, with government in general. And the state of California has a lot of regulations. Fish and Wildlife have a lot of regulations. Air quality has regulations. There's a lot that people have to deal with from the private sector, and we understand that we get the brunt of that, and that's where the stereotype comes from, is that we're all inhibitors. But I really don't see that as the reality in Fortuna and City Hall. You look at the projects that we've accomplished over the last few years, there's definitely a can-do, a yes attitude, and it's, you know, it goes throughout the organization, whether it's our public work staff, our planning staff, our counter staff, my staff. I mean, there's a willingness because we understand how business impacts our community to the positive. You know, there's a simple axiom when you think about local government. Your residents, the residential community, provides about one-third of your revenue that we've talked about in the past, whether it's the property tax, the sales tax, TOT. Those are our three main things. The residential community, they only contribute about one-third of that from their activities. But then on the other side, they require two-thirds of your services in terms of programming and all the service that you provide in terms of public safety and parks and recreation and the streets and all of that. So that's very clear. And then on the other side, this is why I'm saying it's so important that we are the yes, you know, answer of yes, and how can we make this work for business community, because they're the ones that provide two-thirds of that revenue that comes back into the city to provide services. And when you think about it logically, these are business people. They're there, you know, hopefully 8 to 5 Monday through Friday and some weekends and some nights at specific businesses, but they don't generally require a lot of our, you know, resources as a city. So it's very clear that we need to be, you know, the supportive group for business and for new development so that we can increase those taxes and have that positive benefit for the city.
Does the city do any specific outreach into the business community to find to confirm?
We do. I wish we could do more. We've always talked about not having enough staff or time. We actually have a great partnership right now with the McLean Foundation, who's become a funding partner for us to have another staff person. We have an economic development coordinator now that's assigned to work with us on behalf of economic development programs. And we've further initiated this business retention model that we have. Basically a customer service program to go out and find out what are the issues that are affecting our businesses, what kind of things are they running into that they need help with, so that we can try and address those problems or make it easier for them to grow and expand.
Too early to get any feedback at this point?
No, we've gotten a lot of good feedback.
So what trends are there, or what sense do you have?
Well, I have the sense that it's the, you know, it's the regulation from other organizations. You know, obviously in this part of the state, the Coastal Commission is a huge inhibitor to projects. Also, fish and wildlife. You know, there's wetlands issues. There's, you know, some endangered species issues. There's the cost associated with just identifying that there are or are not those issues.
The EIRs and all that kind
exactly.
of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And so trying to make that a better process, trying to do, you know, if we can from our side, from the public sector side, to address some of those pre-development concerns to make projects or project locations more feasible for government, I mean, for the private sector, and have that partnership with government. I mean, that's where we're looking right now, you know, to try and facilitate some of that development.
One of the things that I enjoy talking to business folks about is expanding market share by going vertical. You don't need more customers. You just need to get a larger percentage of what those customers are purchasing in your niche. Are there any inhibitors that are in place for the existing businesses? Not relocating, but just doing it better, doing more, being able to attract more business. Is there anything in the economic outreach you guys have been doing that is indicating that there's, whether it's a glass ceiling or whatever the phrase it might happen to be, that there are challenges in that direction?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because this business retention model, you know, a lot of cities will focus on business attraction, you know, which of course is important. You know, it'd be nice to bring new business to town because, you know, that's good. But really, business expansion, you know, we've got somebody that's existing, they're committed to the community. If you can help them grow and do better, and like you said, identify what those problems are that they are experiencing that's not allowing them to grow or move, you know, upward. You know, and help them with that. I see that as a huge opportunity for any city, really, is, you know, because you've got that commitment already from that business person there.
Is that kind of what the redevelopment programs used to provide?
They had a little bit more flexibility to do that. Yes, economic development was an area that they could go into and try and really help businesses. And of course, we lack that now, but it doesn't mean you can't, you know, assign staff to work with your business community and find out those things. A good example I had from a prior position was, you know, we got into air quality management. You know, a lot of the businesses, a lot of the firms were having trouble just dealing with their emissions. And so we were able to put together our own local engineering firms that provided resources, you know, to help the businesses make those improvements that they needed to make to meet the requirements. We were able to create a new program and put that together for them. So that's why it's important to get out and find out what are those things that businesses need.
There was an effort, a couple decades ago now, didn't seem to have traction at the time. And I know Eureka's different with some of the regulatory stuff than Fortuna is, and certainly things have changed in the last little bit. But to have a pre-permit for a zone or for a region or for an area, and then when business A, B, C, or D come in, they're just kind of selecting one of the building sites in this pre-approved area, and they don't have to go through some of these processes. Is that something that would be economically feasible, whether it's like out, I know you look to the River Lodge area, which has the river, which has a lot of this stuff that would qualify. Is that the kind of thing that the city can look at?
And you're going exactly in the right direction, because we call them a pre-application meeting or a feasibility, you know, conceptual review of projects that are being proposed out there. And it's a free service, and we encourage people to bring them in. And we've actually done probably 10 or 15 over the last year. So the people can come in and say, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, expanding this business. I'm thinking about providing this new service, you know, and here's how I want to do it. Here's where I want to do it. And that gives us an opportunity to say, hey, that should be more in this, you know, commercial thoroughfare zone, or it should be right here in this retail zoned area. Or here, this is the type of manufacturing you want to do. You need to make sure you're in this M1 zone, and here's the different issues that you're going to have to deal with, whether it be, you know, fish and wildlife, or whether it's going to have to be some other type of state issue. Here are your environmental concerns. You might have noise. You might have some other type of traffic situation, to let them know up front, as you work forward to this project, here's what the steps are going to be associated with that.
I only heard one word in that whole thing that I kind of went with.
Which was that?
Should.
Yes, because we can't do
it. Is that the general plan? in place? You know, if you're considering this, you should be in this area, or is that more of a recommendation?
No. It's the city has a general plan that was adopted in 2010 that shows specifically all the different uses throughout town, and then within those uses, there's zoning. It gives them the actual detail of what to do here and there.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:38. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. Jeez, I don't know. I can't even see the clock. 3:48. We're back with Regan. I think it's about 2 minutes, but I'm not sure anymore.
I've just worn you out.
Boy. Just put me away in the stable. So what's the future look like, Regan, with the challenges that are there because of some of the escalating costs, mm-hmm. whether it's PERS or insurance or whatever it might happen to be? This one revenue stream of the tax not being there. Okay. Now, I presume you'll get a little bit of Z because everybody seems to benefit somewhat, but it won't be direct funding.
I don't know that we will get any of
Z. Well, there'll be more sheriffs in the neighborhood, so maybe some of the work.
We have our own policing department.
But like Hinesville or Ronerville and places that are outside the city limits, you might get a little bit of relief there. Okay. What's the series? What's the sequence? What are you looking at now to implement so that next budget year?
We have an existing model, which really stinks. We've been cutting for the last three fiscal years, and that's the model that we'll have to continue with. So we know how to do that. It's just that at this point, we're getting down to the bare bones where there's not much more to cut. It's going to have to be some serious programming cuts and changes to services to the community to achieve, a balanced budget.
Would it make sense to bring in an ad hoc citizens committee and say, here, guys, do you have any ideas?
Well,
I know those
always,
are done in the past.
It's always helpful and it's nice, but we have the city council and it's their role. And this is what we do as staff. Like I said, the model that we have, we've been using it for years, is we make recommendations to the council. Here's a balanced budget. Here's a budget that, is not balanced, but it still has some of the programs that people are used to and some of the services they're used to. And so they're the ones that actually make that change and determine which programming is going to stay and which is going to go.
So they're going to earn their stipend? Is that what you're saying?
They always do. They have done a great job for the last few years, and I don't envy their position. But, it's also difficult on us from the staff side to make those recommendations.
Well, enjoy Thanksgiving as much as you can.
I will definitely try. You too, Brian.
All righty. Thanks, Regan. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.